Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to Vegan Food and Living's Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, and my co-host, Molly Pickering. Yep, it's the Holly and Molly show. Each week, we'll be ranting about vegan news, raving about new food launches, and responding to your questions on all things plant-based. I also chat to vegan chefs, experts, and influencers about everything from fermented food and nutrition to weight loss, herbalism, and seaweed. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Simply Vegan podcast.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Hello. Oh, not too bad. Bit of a sore head this morning after watching the game.
Yep. Same here. I'm a little bit croaky today after all that shouting at the screen. And yeah, I may have had quite a lot of Prosecco. So apologies. Apologies to all our listeners. Anyway, we've got loads to cover today. There's loads going on in the news, and we've had a few more questions from listeners, which is amazing. Don't forget, you can email us simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk with your questions. But first, let's start off by talking about Animal Rebellion. They've been kind of doing a campaign against McDonald's over the last few months. Mm-hmm. In May, they set up blockades at distribution centres across the UK. And throughout June and July, they've been encouraging people to stage something called Mook Sit-ins, where basically lots of campaigners get together and sort of fill the restaurant and eat a vegan packed lunch, which I love. But I thought it was just an interesting one to explore, kind of what are your views on activism like this?
I mean, it's obviously like the backbone of all these movements, isn't it? Without activism, there isn't any change, or there isn't any push for change. I think, is this controversial? I don't know. The aim that Animal Rebellion had, I think it was like 4 years for McDonald's to be completely plant-based. I didn't know whether that was a bit of a reach, considering they haven't even got, you know, a plant-based burger yet. So for them to change the whole business in 4 years is maybe aiming a little bit too high. But I suppose I appreciate the effort. What they did with the blocking was amazing. I think they stopped like all of the restaurants from getting their deliveries, which is just crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm in two minds about activism. I think there's an approach where you can be a bit too forceful and then it just puts people off. You know what I mean? And I don't think it obviously has, it has its reasons, but I don't think it works for me.
Yeah, I feel the same. I used to hate, even before I was vegan, I used to hate sort of going into town and seeing people with all the posters and things, because it would upset me. And I know that, you know, and the same as you, I support it. As long as it's obviously not violent or anything like that, peaceful protests and campaigns. But yeah, I think sometimes it does kind of encourage a sense of us and them. And
definitely,
people don't necessarily engage with it. It does kind of turn people off and sometimes makes vegans maybe look a bit extreme or, you know. But yeah, it's, you know, like you say, it is essential. We're in a climate crisis and, you know, we do need these people kind of pushing for change and, you know, sticking up for the animals as well, because they obviously don't have a voice of their own. So, I just love the idea of the Mook sit-ins, and they did one locally to me, and you could sort of see there's like a picture of all the vegans sitting there with their little packed lunches. It was really cute.
I don't actually know if I've seen any pictures of that, but that is just the most wholesome thing in the whole world. I love it.
Yeah.
Just taking your own little packed lunch. I mean, you've got to do that anyway at McDonald's because they don't sell any vegan food, but...
Exactly, yeah. It's really good. Okay, so moving on, the Sun newspaper has picked up a study by UCLA which concluded that men eat more beef and chicken due to kind of toxic masculinity. It was a study of 800 people, and men who considered themselves manly generally eat more beef and chicken than women or men who consider themselves effeminate. So it's this belief that men need meat, which we have touched on before on the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have vegan men in your life?
Well, my partner's actually vegan, and he kind of was the one that sort of like inspired me to be vegan. I think that idea is just it's obviously just a result of toxic masculinity anyway, but it's just so backwards, and there's so much evidence, you know, highlighting that the protein that is in animals anyway is just from the grass that they, and you know, the vegetables that they're being fed. So I just don't get how so many people are just so against it. We did a report a few weeks, or might have been a few months ago, actually. And it was like 73% of men who they interviewed would rather die 10 years earlier than stop eating meat. It's just crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah, we discussed that on the podcast. And we did have an email actually from a listener who was an older vegan gentleman kind of sticking up for the guys. It was really good to hear from him. So yeah, you don't want to kind of tar everyone with the same brush, do you? Because I think everyone's different, and you know, some men might enjoy eating meat rather than feel that they're eating it because it makes them more manly. But obviously with studies like this and the one you just mentioned, there is still widespread belief that kind of this you know, meat protein is essential. But
yeah,
it really isn't. Okay, so moving on to the next news story. Like I said, there's loads of vegan news this week. Bourneville dark chocolate buttons are no longer vegan. The chocolate bars are, but the buttons have had milk added back into them.
What is the point? What is the point? If they touch the chocolate fingers, I swear to God. What is the point of adding milk into it? There is just, I just don't get it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've never actually had the buttons. Have you? I've had the Bourneville
chocolate. I don't think I have. But I just don't know. I just don't get it.
Just seems a bit backwards, doesn't it? When everyone's moving towards kind of, you know, dairy free and
exactly
more plant based, that they're kind of going the wrong way there. So that's very annoying. Anyway, this leads us nicely on to our review this week of the Mummy Meg's iconic Chucky egg, which is basically like a vegan cream egg. It was, I think, it was available at Holland and Barrett, wasn't it? And
yeah, I think a few other like little niche supermarkets, obviously around like Easter time. And then they did a Halloween one as well, which was like a green center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But yeah,
they're now available at Asda all year round. They're £1.39. And it's a lovely company. It's like run by a mum and daughter up in Yorkshire, I think. What did you think of them?
I wasn't the biggest fan of cream eggs anyway. I think they're very, they're an acquired taste, but it tastes exactly like a cream egg. It's, if that's what you're into, it's the exact replica and you can get it all year round. It's amazing. And it's cute little packaging. And I just think the company itself is just such a great one. And I think it's the mum. She apparently is just like this vegan wizard who just creates everything vegan. Everything she touches turns to vegan.
Oh, wow. What a mum to have.
I know, innit? That's what I want.
They are quite sickly sweet, aren't they? Like Cadbury's mm-hmm. cream eggs, as well as these ones that, like you say, they do taste identical. I don't really have a sweet tooth, so probably a bit sweet for my liking. They do Rocky Roads, which are amazing.
Rocky Road.
Check out the Mummy Meg's website for those. We're waiting for a delivery of Over the Spoon trifles, which are new, I think launching in Tesco, so they're going to be good to try.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I used to be a big trifle fan. Gabriella and I sampled the Morrison's trifle just before Christmas. That was incredible. It was so big. It was massive, like loaded with cream and custard and looking forward to that one. Well, moving on, we've got a couple of questions to answer this week. So first of all, from Maya, we have a question about language, which I thought was really interesting. So she's saying, and thanks for flagging this up, Maya, I've noticed that you use words like normal when describing dairy versions of things. Don't you think you should change the language you use? It's so true, isn't it? We all do it. We're all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, rather than perhaps saying a dairy cheese,
you
kind of say normal cheese. Yeah, obviously, you know, I guess hardcore vegans might point out that there's nothing normal about, you know, cheese that's made from cow's breast milk.
exactly. It's hard. It's quite weird, isn't it? Because even though you know it's not normal, it's just this language that is just kind of inherited because it's been like, obviously for us when we were growing up, like that was the normal thing that you would drink. So now when you leave it, when you go to plant-based alternatives, you still kind of refer to it. But she's absolutely right, we do need to change it up. I have kind of been forcing myself to be like dairy based or meat based rather than, as you said, like normal, because like you said, there's nothing normal about it.
Yeah. And it kind of extends out to all sorts, doesn't it? Like, you know, when you say, oh, I'm being a guinea pig for something, you know, you're kind of being a tester for it. Or should we be doing away with language like that? And it is so entrenched in our society that is the norm. But, you know, times are changing. So perhaps, we need to stop and think about how we're, portraying things.
Definitely. I think that in, you know, a few years, it's not going to be the normal anyway. I think 10 years time, it'll be the other way around. You know, you'd be referring to vegan milk as normal milk.
Yeah. Or cow cheese.
Cow cheese. Cow cheese is gross. It's
funny, you don't say cow cheese, do you? But you say sheep's cheese.
You say cow's milk.
Yeah, but not cow cheese. Anyway, oh dear, this is all going wrong today, isn't it, God. Molly? We're very hungover and we're really sorry. Okay, so the next question was from Alice and she wanted to know why some drinks are not vegan, which is a bloody good question. And we've actually made a discovery, haven't we, Molly, that we have been horrified.
Uris.
So doing our research to answer this question, we've discovered that Lilt is not vegan. It contains traces of fish gelatin. Well, even if I wasn't vegan, I would not want fish in my can of
fishy Lilt.
Fishy Lilt. Yeah. Gross. No. I mean, when I first went vegan, I went to Pizza Hut. This is like pre-pandemic days. Remember them?
Oh, sweet, sweet days.
No queues.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I went to Pizza Hut and I was, you know, sort of like the bright-eyed new vegan. Oh, I'm vegan, you know, telling everyone. And the guy looked a bit nervous and kind of bought over the menu for me, like the special menu. And it literally had like everything. It was like one of these like dietary menus. So, you know, it had a list of all the ingredients in every single thing, and you're kind of looking at it going, oh god, I just want something with a VG next to it. Do I really have to like read all of this? But anyway, yeah, the drinks were not, like the fizzy drinks were not vegan because of this fish gelatin.
It's crazy, because unless you delve into it, like, you wouldn't know, because I'm exactly the same when it comes to like fizzy drinks, whatever. I don't read the label. No. Because you just assume, you know, I'm not going to think that there's fish in this pan. What is the point? I love Lilt so much, and I'm furious.
Yeah, I used to love Lilt. I mean, I don't really drink a lot of fizzy drinks, but
no.
Obviously I do drink wine because I've just told you that.
Too much of it.
Yeah, so basically wine, beer and cider is not always vegan. When filtering the drinks, companies sometimes use things like ice, I think I'm pronouncing this right, isinglass, which is made from fish bladders. And they also use gelatin and egg whites and things like that. So this is to kind of purify the alcohol. So pretty gross, actually. Who wants to be drinking something that's kind of gone, been sort of filtered through a fish bladder?
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah. I remember when I used to work at a pub, and it was like a real ale pub, and I was talking one day with one of the customers, and they were just like, they told me this, that they were filtering beer with, I think, yeah, like fish bladder, no, pig bladder, I think, right. It is. I'm not. Ooh. It's just disgusting.
Yeah,
surely there's something else. Just use an actual filter, you don't have to use the bladder.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, you know, it's time to do away with this, isn't it? And obviously there are alternatives, because there's plenty of vegan wine, beer and cider out there. A really good website is Barnivore, barnivore.com. And basically you can just kind of put in, you know, your favorite drink and see if it's vegan or not. I think they've got like 55,000.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, you're bound to find something there. Yeah. And obviously, you know, look out for anything that's actually labeled vegan, because a lot of them are labeling themselves as that now. Distilled spirits, you're usually okay with. So like gin, brandy, whiskey, vodka, they're usually okay. And another thing to look out for is honey. So obviously some drinks might have honey in. And yeah, perhaps a topic of discussion for another day as to why honey is not vegan. It's obviously an animal product. I mean, some vegans do have honey, don't they? I have met a few.
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest fan of honey, to be honest. I think I'd only really use it in cooking if I was ever to use it. But I just use agave. Agave syrup, maple syrup. That's what I just use instead.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I don't miss honey at all. And I did actually, when I was editing Simply Vegan magazine, before it closed and became this wonderful podcast, we did have an article on it, and the person that wrote it really opened my eyes as to what goes on. And it is, you know, there is cruelty involved. So yeah, definitely ditched the honey after that. So so that is why some drinks are not vegan, Alice, and annoying that we live in a world where we have to check the labels even for just having a glass of wine. But you know, I think you get used to it, don't you, and you kind of get your favorite brands.
Don't forget to stay hydrated.
Note to self:
drink the water.
Okay, well, up next I'll be chatting to Danny Hatchard, who is an actor who starred in EastEnders, Our Girl and upcoming drama Ridley Road. He's a real breath of fresh air, a few f-bombs in there, so just take it with a pinch of salt. He's a proper sort of Cockney lad, and he's great and really, really passionate about veganism. So have a listen, and myself and Molly will see you next week. Hi, Danny. Welcome to the Simply Vegan podcast. It's great to have you on the show. Shall we get straight to the questions that everyone wants to know about, which is, what is it like working on EastEnders?
It's good. I mean, it's a bit of a machine. It's not like any other production that you'd work on. It's I recently just filmed a drama, 4 episodes long, an hour per episode. And we had a significant amount of time to film those 4 episodes. I believe about a period of 3 months it took to film those 4 episodes, but 4 episodes of EastEnders you could film in a week.
Wow. So it's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's hardcore. And, there's a lot of amendments. People sometimes call in sick on the day, so we have to completely reevaluate the day and change things. There's been times where I've had to take other characters' dialogue on the day because it's a mental place to work, but it's kind of like going back to training.
Right.
I loved it. It was brilliant, and I learned a hell of a lot from it. And when I left it, I had a whole new lease of confidence moving forward. And I genuinely believe that there isn't a job on this earth, creatively, that I couldn't handle, having done what I would probably consider the hardest thing to do, which is a soap. It's a nightmare, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare, but in a good way. You know, just like going to drama school, university is a nightmare. You know, it's hard. They work you to the bone, but you learn a lot.
Yeah.
So there's a real discipline to working in a soap. And I feel like there is a bit of a stigma regarding actors that are in a soap. I don't like the word soap actors because it's quite stigmatized, and I don't believe in, you know, segregating creatives in that way. They're actors and they happen to be in a soap. And I believe anybody that's had experience in a soap should be taken seriously, because it's very difficult. You know, it's not easy. Over 3 years, I did 350 episodes.
Sounds full on. So were there other vegans on the show at the time?
I left EastEnders about 4.5 years ago. So I actually became vegan, vegetarian shortly after I left EastEnders. And then, and then I became vegan after that.
So when you were filming Our Girl, were you vegan on set then?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So how was that? Because you filmed in South Africa, didn't you? Not actually in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, South Africa, Cape Town, we filmed. An amazing place to film. Everything there that you need. Being vegan out in South Africa is surprisingly easy.
Okay.
It's quite, South Africa, particularly Cape Town, is quite westernized.
Yeah.
The people there are either completely broke or have got a lot of money. And, people that have got a lot of money tend to, people out there, you know, they tend to kind of venture along the vegetarian diet out there. You know, it's quite an odd place, but it's a beautiful place. But yeah, in terms of the poor side of things, you know, I think 45% of people there are unemployed, and then, you know, the other larger percent, it's crazy. It's a crazy place. You know, I'd come out of my apartment, which was completely gated off, because crime out there, as you can imagine, is quite potent. And there'd be, for instance, I'd walk out my apartment and there'd be like a Bentley and a Ferrari showroom. But and then there'd be like a mother begging outside for like 50 cent or something, like 50 rand, which is like the equivalent to like 20 pence or 50. Yeah. I can't even remember, but it's like next to nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems like, just seems bizarre. It's a real bizarre place, you know. But being vegan out there was really easy. You know, there was quite a few vegan restaurants, and probably more so than there was in London at the time.
Right. Okay.
Because significantly, I'd say the vegan world, like the vegan kind of like vegan restaurants and accessibility to vegan kind of, you know, food chain, they're like say, for instance, like you've got like Rudy's, and then you've got like Temple of Satan, and then What the Pit are, and Perez are, and all of these places, you know, they only recently opened over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So they're really new. So you know, Cape Town was quite surprisingly far ahead considering. However, catering on the film set was perhaps more difficult and probably more annoying. It was quite tricky to kind of navigate that.
Right.
Because there was a lot of fears of cross contamination, I think, because like there'd be like something that had been made particularly for vegans, but then they'd have sloppy pork chops right next to it that they would dish up over the vegan. It's just like, well, you're kind of defeating the object a little bit. And I felt like I was being a bit of a diva and a bit of a pest because I refused to eat it because I could see, you know, raw pork chops being slivered all over the food. And I was just like, you can't expect me to eat that. I might as well just kill a pig and eat it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it just seemed contradictory, you know?
I guess it's tricky with those small spaces cooking in, you know, presumably they're sort of food vans and things. And like you say, you don't want to make a fuss, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to have to sit here eating something with meat juices dripped all over it.
Yeah, I, to be honest with you, I've just got to a point in my life now where, like, I don't ask for much. I don't consider myself a diva, but I do have, you know, I live by the vegan lifestyle. And I don't like to call it a diet because I don't not eat meat because it's a dietary choice. I do it because it's a lifestyle. And so therefore, you know, I'm quite firm about it, you know, and I've quite often expressed the fact that I'm pissed off. I don't know, sorry if y'all can swear on this, but
that's all right.
It's the only way I can really explain how I felt, you know. Yeah. And some people don't understand it, and I don't expect them to, but you know, I made my position very clear before I started the job, and I don't think it's much to ask for, you know. Cooking up some lentils and some vegetables and rice, I don't think is all that hard, you know.
No, not at all.
So you know, I'm not particularly fussy. I just don't want any animal products in my food. That's about it, really.
Yeah. What about things like costumes? You know, I mean, if you had to wear a pair of leather boots, for example, would you wear those?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's considered upcycled, isn't it? So I guess you can always, as a vegan, you can kind of, it's bottomless in terms of how deep you go, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think you have to have faith in the fact that things are ever changing and it will get better. You know, even now when I buy clothes, I buy upcycled clothes. Like I'm buying a lot of stuff from charity shops, or like I'm buying stuff that's, because it's just very difficult, you know, and the vegan clothing world, it caters predominantly for women because most vegans are women.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. You know, because most men are an emotional bag of tits and love their dogs and it's just, you know, and it's just, yeah, but yeah, they can't differentiate between, you know, a pig with an emotional maturity of a 4-year-old child and a dog that probably nowhere near as intelligent, you know. So it's just, I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. And in terms of buying vegan clothes, it's a nightmare. So so I just try to do things within my means. And if I buy a pair of trainers, which is, I haven't bought a pair of trainers in a year and a half. I've just looked after the ones that I've got.
Yeah.
I do buy a pair of trainers and I can't find, you know, Vager's great because they've only just come out. But, you know, if I need to buy something, and then I make sure that it's got minimal amount of leather in it. And I hate buying it. I hate investing. Like, I hate paying for that, because then I think, well, you know, am I considered plant-based or am I considered vegan? And it's like, well, actually, this is, you know, vegan, I think, is your own personal definition, because everybody could argue about it until the cows come home. Well, you can't do this, you can't eat figs because figs aren't vegan because a wasp died in it. It's like, oh, fuck off, you know what I mean? It's just like you can literally go on and on and on and on and on about it. But I think the most important thing as a vegan is to do your best and to spread the message and to encourage people to try different things, and eventually it will change, you know. And it is at a significant pace, and I'm very proud of the vegan movement and where it's going. And a lot of people are asking questions, you know, and I'm happy to answer them. And I'm very blunt with the way that I talk about them as well.
Yeah, it's really refreshing. It's nice. I think, you know, you can feel the passion that you have. I mean, I think the vegan society kind of define veganism as far as you possibly can remove or avoid animal products. And the world that we live in, like you say, you know, people say, oh, well, some coconuts aren't, you know, they're using monkeys to get them out of the trees, or olives. And, you know, you can't necessarily live your life, especially when you're working, and you know the pace of life we're living in right now is never ending, isn't it? So you can't always make those there's not always the option there. Obviously I just said, you know, how passionate you are. Do you get involved with activism or anything like that? Do you think that kind of the hardcore activism works?
I think it can do. I think for me, I have to be selfish somewhat, because if I end up with a criminal record, there's no chance of going to the States and working. As much as I would love to go out there and break into buildings and expose exactly how absurd the, you know, animal agriculture is, especially the dairy industry.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do that. And I'm a big fan of people like Joey Carbstrong and Earthling Ed and people like that. And I follow them. And I wish I could get involved, and I could get involved, but there would be a potentially huge sacrifice that I'm not in a position to take at the moment. So therefore, the next best thing that I can do is promote veganism and encourage people who would perhaps never have considered trying alternatives and doing, you know, meat free Mondays and stuff. I think that is the next best thing that I can do. So I try to go down that avenue as much as I can. And then, you know, I guess one day when I'm an old farter, I don't give a shit as much. I probably will start breaking into buildings and encouraging people. So, you know, it's probably where it's going to go.
I'll join you. We'll go rescue the pigs and the cows.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it, you know, it does break. I've got no qualms in sharing the graphic stuff on social media either, because I think, you know, ignorance is bliss, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to open our eyes to exactly what's going on. And it's just people that don't relate to the fact that there's no difference to a dog and a pig and a chicken and a, you know, even my dog recently is I've recently switched my dog's diet over to a vegan diet now, so my dog's now vegan.
Yeah, me too. What food is he on?
He's on his name's Suggs. He's over there, he's snoring away like he typically does. But I use a dog food company called Hound, H-U-W-N-D, and it's a lovely lady called Jo. And I kind of followed their products for a little while, and I reached out to her and I just said, hey, well, look, I'm looking to take my dog off of raw food, because he had always been on raw food, because, you know, I see that it was contradicting my kind of my lifestyle choice. Like I'm dealing with feeding him raw food, and but at the same time, I know dogs are omnivorous, but I wanted to be fair to the fact that he is a dog, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought I'll give him a go on it, and I'll see how it goes. And if he doesn't like it, and then I'll try another couple of things. And if not, and then I guess I'll just have to buckle and just deal with the fact that he just loves to eat dead animals, and that's just the way it is. I tried him on it, and he loves it, so that's great. So we're going to stick with that now. You know, his arse is horrendous. You know, it's I mean, you know, typical on a vegan diet, all of a sudden you just become windy.
Oh no.
You know, it's the windiest he's ever been, but right. But my conscience is clear.
Yeah.
And and actually, hopefully, you never know, I might be able to squeeze a little bit more time out of him, because he's getting all of the necessary nutrition that any living being needs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I switched my dog over because it exactly the same as you. It was really bugging me. It didn't sit well with me. Every time I was feeding him dinner and breakfast, I was just cringing having to have this in the house. So finally switched. Well, actually, what the catalyst was that he had pancreatitis, And right. I was like, well, he's not doing well on this food. I need to change it anyway. I had a friend who'd researched it, and she uses a brand called Yara. I think it's Y-A-R-R-A-H, and it's like bio-organic vegan dog food. And he started on this dog food. He's had no stomach problems. He's lost weight. He's just honestly like a two-year-old dog again, and he's 10. Brilliant. So amazing. Brilliant. And I know, I don't know if you follow Lewis Hamilton. He's sort of obviously very vocal.
Yeah,
very vocal vegan, and he switched his dog over, I think, after his other dog died. So yeah, it's, you know, they can really thrive on vegan food.
100%. Well, the oldest dog I think ever documented was 27. I might have lied. That is definitely in the mid to late 20s, called Brambles, and she was a vegan.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I've done quite an extensive amount of research on it because, you know, it's getting odd arsehole sliding into your DMs trying to get it big. And, you know, and it's just like, you know, and I like to get back at them with a few facts and make them look stupid. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then when I send them a dog that's in the Guinness World Records that's eating more vegetables than this prick has probably eaten in his lifetime, it kind of makes them shut up. Do you know what I mean? And he's, do you know what? His arse might stink a bit more, but his breath don't smell half as bad. So
okay.
I feel that's a fair trade, actually. Yeah,
can't have it all.
Yeah, well, his mouth's closer to me face than his arse, so that's all right. I don't mind that.
Oh, bless him. Yeah. Sugs.
Yeah.
When you're sort of acting, do people ask you about veganism? Does it sort of, do you tell people? Does it, if it comes up in conversation, do people kind of ask you lots of questions? Are they intrigued?
I feel like, you know, this typical thing, and I'm sure you'll relate to it, is you know, people always say, oh, you know, a vegan will always let you know they're vegan. It's just like, well, yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What do you want me to do? Wait until you dish me up a fucking sausage batter? Do you know what I mean? Like, before I tell you, it's just like I have to tell people. Yeah. And I'm also proud of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, you know what I mean? So it's just, I've got no shame in that. And, you know, that's how a conversation always starts, really, is people go, oh, he's a vegan. And they try being like condescending. It's just like, well, yeah, I'm one of those. Get over it. Do you know what I mean? And then, they start asking questions about it, you know, typical ones. What about protein? And you know, what about, you know, and then some of them that think they're intelligent will mention B12.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that B12, the thing that you're probably more deficient in than me. You know, and it's just, you know, and it's just, oh, you know, but cheese. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that thing that's got the same compound as crack. Yeah, that. you know, it's just, you know, people try to trick you up. And it's just like, I don't understand what their beef is. So, sorry to use the pun, but I don't understand what your problem is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not hurting anyone. I literally ain't hurting anyone. I'm hurting less people than you are. You know, it's just like, so what's your problem? And you know, and then you get the odd person that'll actually, you know, they seem quite interested, and you know, and they ask a lot of questions about, you know, well, what do you have for replacements with eggs, and then I'll kind of write them down like a recipe of stuff that I use. I introduce them to new things like that we probably have in our daily lives, like nutritional yeast and seasoning, because I don't know what it is with the white, predominantly white Western culture, but we think seasoning is just salt and pepper.
Yeah, a bit of gravy or something, you know, on top.
Yeah, it's just salt, pepper or gravy, like an octo cube, and that ain't flavour, do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's just, you don't like chicken, you don't like beef, you like the flavouring, you like the seasoning of it. So when we have that conversation, it generally always goes the way I imagine it will. You know, people, you know, I'm respectful of the fact that, you know, they're deciding to eat what they want to eat, but I do say to them, well, look, don't know unless you try. You know, I always tend to encourage people to I always think about the two alternatives I always try and encourage people to try, and that's I always start with dairy products, and that's, you know, switch your butter over to, you know, Flora, because that's pretty much all vegan now, just your Flora original or your Flora light. And then I say, why not try different milks? And then I always point them towards Oatly Barista, because it is probably the closest thing to normal milk. And it, I think, is much creamier and much tastier.
Yeah.
Ever since I started having Oatly Barista, I genuinely don't have any sugar in any of my drinks anymore.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they'll all come back to me and go, oh, I tried that. Yeah, I think I'll stick with that now. It's like, well, good for you, actually. Brilliant. You know, good for you. That's brilliant. And then what it does as well is it starts encouraging them to kind of, you know, be a bit more adventurous and try different things. And that's exactly what happened to my dad. You know, you would have met my dad a few years ago. He was just adamant that he just wanted to eat. And he loves animals and dogs as much as I do and the next person, you know. And I pulled out the whole, pulled the whole thing out of the bag that he was contradictory and what he was saying wasn't reflecting, you know, what he was doing, you know. And then we watched Game Changer. And I love the title of that film because it really is a game changer. You know, I've sat down with my dad and there was a couple of points in the show that they made. And I won't mention one of them because it'll embarrass him, but there was one in particular.
Oh, and yeah, went, I remember I didn't now. Know
that. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't bloody know that. I was like, yes, Dad, yes, it does last longer. You know, I was just, you know, and then he goes, oh, fuck, you know, I'll have to give that a go. And then he did. And I introduced him to a load of new things. I cook for him whenever he's round here, but I always make an effort to cook him something different. And every time I cook him something different, it's always the next best thing he's ever tasted. So now he's vegan. He hasn't eaten meat in about a year and a bit now.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He's absolutely smashed it. He's smashed it. So
I love the fact it was that particular thing that converted him.
That's a typical bloke, isn't it? Yeah. You know, what do you expect? You know?
Well, it hasn't worked on my husband. He's still sneaking bacon into the house now and again. And then we have an argument about it. And I'm like, why do you have to buy that shit? And
well, in 10 years' time, when you look the same and he's looking like a raggedy old prune, you'll start thinking, oh, what's going on? What this ain't right.
Exactly. I'll have to trade him in then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, which is totally reasonable, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, Danny, you are a complete breath of fresh air to talk to, I must say.
No, thank you.
Just to finish off quickly, we're a bit of a fan of like a quiz here at the Simply Vegan podcast. We thought we'd just have a quick fire Q&A session, if you're up for it.
Okay, a quiz.
Just a quickie.
Oh, God, okay.
Okay, so it's nothing too taxing on the brain, don't worry. So, right, let's go. Favourite weeknight meal?
Okay. My chickpea wrap that I make.
Sounds good. Worst vegan food you've ever eaten?
I think I went to a restaurant once and I asked for a salad and just whatever they wanted to put in it, beans, pulses. I just said, look, just make up a vegan meal, and they gave me lettuce and tomatoes.
Oh no.
That was it.
That is pathetic.
Yeah, it was pathetic.
Best vegan junk food you've ever eaten?
That's a tricky one. Unity Diner. Anything in there.
Okay. Is that in
London? I don't know if you've ever been. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's actually owned by Earthling Ed.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, is that Earthling Ed? Yeah. No, unfortunately, I'm in Dorset and we don't have anything cool like that down here. But if I go to London.
No, that is the best place I've ever eaten. Yeah, okay. It's unbelievable.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Seeing as you work in the showbiz world, who's your vegan celebrity icon?
A very dear friend of mine called Peter Egan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's an ambassador for Veganuary, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we both are, actually.
Oh, are you? Oh, brilliant.
I'm actually doing a shoot with Veganuary August 6th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So it should be cool. So watch this space.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it. I don't want to think about winter.
Oh yeah, no thanks. No. Let's get the 19th out of the way, start the summer.
Exactly. Yeah, party time. Yeah. If you could convert one famous person to veganism, who would it be?
I would probably say someone obscure like Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
The only reason why I'd say that is because you'd be fucked to find vegan food in Russia. And I think it's really important to acknowledge the fact that, you know, as much as in our Western culture, you know, we're actually moving in the right direction. It would be nice to see other countries do that as well. And considering, you know, he's a bit of a dictator,
I think if he wants to be a dictator in the right direction, I ain't got a problem with that.
That is a bloody good answer. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
No problem. You've been amazing. We'd love to have you back sometime. I know you're filming Ridley Road at the moment.
No, I finished that now.
We'll have that on our screens later this summer. Is that right?
Possibly September. Really depends on when post-production finishes. I know they're in the editing room now. So once I finish editing and they've booked a slot with the BBC, it's going to be prime time. So it'll probably be on once a week. But it'll be BBC One prime time. Not sure what time, but roughly September, perhaps a little bit later, I should imagine. But okay. Yeah, watch your space. It's going to be good. It's going to be very good.
Brilliant. We'll keep an eye out for it and support our fellow vegan.
That's fine. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, why not share it with a friend or leave us a review on your platform of choice? We'd love to hear what you think. You can also email any questions you have to simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk or follow us on Instagram @simplyveganpodcast and @veganfoodandliving. Well, summer has arrived and Vegan Food and Living are offering a trial to their Plus membership, along with a copy of the magazine delivered to your home in recyclable paper wrap for just £1. You'll also have access to their digital archive, which features every issue of Vegan Food and Living magazine ever published, and you'll receive exclusive discounts with their vegan partners. Give Vegan Food and Living a go for £1 by going to shop.veganfoodandliving.com and entering the code SUMMERVEGAN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.